Green against U.S. Cash Advance.
May it please the court.
Let people on both sides get settled. Mr. King.
Thank you. This is a case of contract interpretation. The Kahn Court framed the issue as follows. Does the arbitration agreement reflect an intent to forego arbitration if the NAF is unavailable? The answer here is no. The parties' agreement provided that they would arbitrate their dispute before one arbitrator. And the plain language of the entire arbitration provision contains at least five references to the parties' agreement to arbitrate their dispute. And in four of those, there is no reference to the NAF at all.
Mr. King, the NAF pulled out of consumer arbitrations in 2009, right?
Correct.
And in 2012, your client was still using a form contract that still provided for arbitration, but only before the NAF, right?
Correct.
Why shouldn't we treat that, in essence, just as a nullity, like a contract to arbitrate before the present king of France or the man in the moon?
Well, I don't think that would be a fair analogy because we don't know why the NAF, based on this record, was included in that contract. And it could have been that
should we have a hearing on that? Should we order a hearing on that question?
The
choices would seem to be between fraudulent intent and utter ignorance.
No, I don't believe so, Your Honor. I believe that the court below should have interpreted the plain language of the contract and the overwhelming intent of the parties to send the case to arbitration. And the reference to the NAF was a secondary concern. It was a reference to the rules.
And to who could be the arbitrator, right?
No, I believe the references to the rules that would apply to an arbitration.
Right, and it says both by the NAF, and then you look at the rules themselves, and they say only we can use our rules. Right? It's sort of like a trademark kind of problem.
But has the Kahn Court recognized that there is a severance provision in the NFA rules, and that if the contract provision isn't effective, then the Federal Arbitration's rules or Federal Arbitration Act would require one to take the situation and require arbitration?
If that's correct, then what we've got in essence is an agreement that says we agree to arbitrate before any arbitrator and under any rules that a U.S. district judge with jurisdiction might select. Is that what this amounts to?
No, I don't believe so. I believe the Federal Arbitration Act would require the district court to compel arbitration, and the rules that would apply would be the rules of the NAF.
But the NAF says you can't use those rules if we're not getting paid for them, in essence.
No, I don't think that that's what the rules say. I think
that's what Rule 1 says.
Well, the rules also provide that any of the rules that are illegal or can be severed from the code, and the arbitration can proceed under the remaining rules. Kahn Court recognized that. I believe it's Rule 48 of the...
Presumably it would have to be used by somebody who had paid the NAF for a copy of the rules. Your contention, I gather, is that under copyright law, the copyright proprietor, the author, cannot control who uses the document and how. Can only control whether the document's been paid for.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't prepared to address a copyright issue. I don't believe that the rules are available online. I don't believe that that's...
Yes, they are. I downloaded them from the NAF's website.
Yes, and I don't know that any of the rules couldn't be used, such as the AAA rules couldn't be used.
Under your theory, could the district judge, for example, contact Senator Warren of Massachusetts, who has some interest in practices of this industry, and ask her to suggest an arbitrator who is familiar with the industry?
I think the district court could appoint a fair and neutral arbitrator. It's within her discretion.
That wasn't the question. Why don't you answer the question rather than answering a question you wish the judge had asked instead?
The district court judge could appoint whomever she decided. So I guess
somebody familiar with class actions who thought they were a good way to promote consumer protection? Or maybe somebody from the industry who has been accused of similar wrongdoing in the future, if the district judge were so inclined. My problem with this is that you have, because of the mistake in the way this contract was put together, we're left with an utterly indeterminate contract, where the district judge would have to fill in virtually everything. Could you address the reasoning of the Second Circuit in the Solomon shareholders case, which really read Section 5 of the FAA pretty narrowly in such a way that I don't think it would apply here? With respect to a lapse in the naming, if you're not familiar with the case, it may not be useful to talk about it.
No, I don't think so.
It's relied upon. Your favorite case, Kahn, disagrees with it.
Yeah, I understand, Your Honor. Where I'd like to, I guess, refocus is the agreement to arbitrate contained many references to arbitration. And the reference to the NAF was simply in passing. The buy-in under, there are several courts that have looked at this issue and decided that similar language requires arbitration. And it's not just the Kahn case, the Redham case from the Ninth Circuit, the Brown case from the 11th Circuit, the Meskel case, and other district court opinions have looked at this issue and decided that that type of language requires and compels arbitration under these circumstances. The cases, that main case that the appellee relies upon, Carr versus Gateway, was a situation where there was an exclusive jurisdiction was called for before the NAF, and there was a penalty provision if you went somewhere else. And subsequent to that, there was an Illinois appellate court case, Brown versus Delfrey, where the parties contracted an arbitration provision, again, very similar to the one here. It stated that any dispute shall be submitted to binding arbitration conducted by and according to the securities arbitration rules then in effect of the NASD, which then wasn't in business, just like the NAF isn't in business.
But
now.
It's one thing. Everybody, look, for example, you may have a long-term supply contract for coal or uranium or, electrical power, who knows, may be in place 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And obviously you can name an arbitrator in a long-term agreement like that. And who knows what may happen. Company may go out of business and so on. But here we've got a nullity from the very start. And it's hard for me to treat that as just a lapse in the naming of an arbitrator or filling of a vacancy.
Well, I think one would have to look into why the NFAF was named. What was the reason for it?
Why and would the contents of anybody's head matter?
Well, in order to infer a nefarious intent or unconscionability or
question
fraud.
Question of nefarious intent. The question is, if you write down something at the time the contract is signed that cannot be implemented, isn't that different from the situation in which something goes wrong after a contract is signed?
Well, this contractual provision was used for many years, and there
obviously, not answering my question. Now, your answer might have been, I thought from your brief, was that this contract could be implemented. This contract doesn't say shall be arbitrated before the National Arbitration Forum. It just says shall be arbitrated using the code of the National Arbitration Forum. And therefore, it could be implemented whether the National Arbitration Forum was alive, dead, or in a coma.
That is our position.
Except the agreement says by the National Arbitration Forum.
Well, there are many courts that have interpreted that to mean that only the rules apply. The by and under was, as the district court said, clunky language, and it could be a belt and suspenders way of referring to the rules.
Arbitrated by rules sounds like it's a misnomer. We have a subject. It will be arbitrated before the NAF under the NAF's rules. It's a very clear provision. It's not. It may not be graceful, but it's clear.
Well, I respectfully disagree. The district court thought it was clunky at best, and I think the reference to shall refers to...
She didn't think it was unclear, though.
She did not. She did not, but the reference to shall refers to the process of arbitration by one arbitrator. And the remaining language simply refers to the rules that should be applied.
Thank you, Mr. King. Mr. Morales-Doyle.
May it please the Court. We are here today before the Court because when the defendants made a loan to my client, they thought they had rigged the game. The fix was in. The loan machine would collect 200% interest from Ms. Green, and if she ever decided to complain, they could force her before a notoriously anti-consumer forum.
Gets us into factual findings that you don't really have any support for on this record, do you?
I believe, first of all, that we don't need to get to factual findings, that this was a decision made by the district court on the plain language of the contract, and I'd be happy to discuss
that
plain language.
That's a good place to stop.
Yes. I do think that, as you suggested, if there is a factual issue here, then perhaps there does need to be a hearing, but I don't think we need to get there. The plain language of the contract is very clear in this case.
And how the contract says it calls for resolution, and I quote, by one arbitrator and under the code of procedure of the National Arbitration Forum. What part of that language calls for the National Arbitration Forum to appoint or employ or supervise the arbitrator?
The language says by and under the code of procedure.
By one arbitrator and under the code.
I believe it actually says by one arbitrator, by and under the code of procedure of the NAF. There's a second by in there. So it says by one arbitrator, by and under the code of procedure of the NAF. And that's just one place where it's made clear that the NAF has to be the arbitrator because, of course, the code is incorporated by reference into the agreement, and the code itself says that only NAF can be the arbitrator. So,
well, that doesn't seem to me enforceable. You heard my question to Mr. King.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use – the NAF has a copyright in this document. But a copyright proprietor can't control how other people use the written document.
I don't believe this is the NAF.
A patent holder can do that, but a copyright proprietor can't.
I don't believe this is a case where we're asking to give NAF that authority. What we're asking is that the contract be read by its terms, and the code of procedure is incorporated into this contract. So it's just one more basis for interpreting the language of the paragraph in the contract itself. The entire code of procedure is incorporated into the agreement, and the code of procedure reaffirms what the agreement already says, which is that the NAF will be the arbitrator.
So your argument that the forum will supply the arbitrator rests, it seems, on Rule 1A of the code, even though Rule 1A is transparently illegal.
No, I believe my argument rests primarily and at its base on the language in the contract, which says by the NAF. The parties designated the NAF in the contract itself. I also think that there are other rules within the NAF Code of Procedure, including Rule 48, that make clear that if the NAF is unavailable, the parties have other options available to them, such as coming to court. But no, I believe the language...
Since our time is limited, let me ask a question in a different direction. What is the count so far among the circuits about whether when an arbitration agreement refers specifically to the National Arbitration Forum, the district judge may or is authorized to or should appoint an arbitrator under Section 5?
I believe that there are decisions out of the Third Circuit, the Fifth Circuit, and the Redham case in the Ninth Circuit, I think, is actually not on the NAF, but is on a similar issue.
No, it's not.
Correct.
The 11th Circuit in Prendergast and earlier in Brown both say that Section 5 should be used in this situation. The Fifth Circuit's opinion in Ranzi is non-precedential, So the count, as I make it, is the Third Circuit and the Eleventh Circuit on one side and nobody with a precedential opinion on the other. So you're asking us to create a conflict among the circuits. Is there any published opinion, published appellate opinion on your side?
Well, the question does arise whether or not this is an issue of state contract interpretation law, in which case there is a case from the state's highest court, Carvey Gateway, which is on point. No, I do not believe that there is a Circuit Court of Appeals case on point, though I do strongly disagree with
Solomon's shareholders is not an NAF case, but it is comparable on its facts.
I agree.
Except that the case is weaker here for arbitration because there, at least the organizations had existed at the time the contracts were entered into.
Correct. I think that you are correct to point out, Your Honor, that this is not a mere lapse in the naming, that this is a case where the appellants are asking the court to rewrite the arbitration agreement. They don't have an explanation for why NAF is there 3 years after the fact. The best explanation would be that there was not actually a meeting of the minds as to this arbitration clause whatsoever. The worst explanation, I think we've made clear in our briefs, but this isn't a case where there's a panel and parties have the opportunity to strike. There's an arbitrator chosen and that arbitrator passes away. This isn't a system that didn't work. This is choosing a scheme and then having it backfire because that scheme was not available then and is not available now. And this court should not allow the appellants to come in and ask for a rewriting of the agreement. That's not what the FAA is for. The FAA is about enforcing the terms of agreements. Arbitration is a matter of contract. That's the fundamental principle at the heart of the FAA. And this is not a contract that supports arbitration. We disagree with the idea in Convidel that somehow the NAF's code should be severed in different ways because it's inconsistent with the FAA. The fact is it's not inconsistent with the FAA. It says that there's one arbitrator available, and if that arbitrator is unavailable, you may seek your remedies elsewhere. There's no basis for striking any portion of that. In fact, it's completely consistent with the idea that if the parties want a contract for a forum and make that forum integral to their agreement, they may. And we're left here with a case where the parties entered into an agreement that is not enforceable. That's what the district court decided. That's what we ask for you to affirm. The loan machine is not entitled to the benefit of the doubt in rewriting this agreement. The court should not reward the loan machine for its tricks in setting this agreement up the way that it did. Unless you have any other questions, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Morales-Doyle. The case is taken under advisement. Our final case of the day.